You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Good, I have. That's some good. Hopefully, and I'll tell you, the more I've looked at this over the last 2 days, the more I believe it ties into part of the fear of the Lord, believe it or not. So if you guys are ready, let's get started.
Let's get started. Let's go, bro.
What are you doing, sir? Trying to see how impatient I am? Very.
This is way more ridiculous than I even imagined. It really is. It wasn't 20 seconds before three people dang near jumped out of their seats because I was quiet for 20 seconds. The insanity of where I'm going with this, I hope you pick now. I literally, just so you guys know, I set my timer for 5 minutes. And before we even started, I asked Tracy, I said, what happens if we sit in silence for 5 minutes? It's really going to blow this message. She was like, not a chance. It wasn't 20 seconds. Now, with that, I really want to get into something that I feel is terrible, terrible, terrible today. And it's literally eating away our ability to know God without a shadow of a doubt. I believe each and every one of you are suffering from ASDD, attention span deterioration disorder. I believe that the world that we live in, the America that we live in, has literally deteriorated our attention span capability almost beyond recognition.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, within 17 seconds, we've seen it. I'm telling you, and I'm going to go through some of this stuff, and I hope you really, really pay attention to this because I believe we're missing out on just a tremendous amount of glorious benefits by just not being quiet, just not shutting up for a few minutes in order to actually hear the Lord that everybody's so looking for. I wholeheartedly believe that. Now, I will tell you what happened, and I believe this message was birthed out of my own anxiousness. I really, really do. And what I mean by that is, if God doesn't give me the message for the next week, I start to feel myself getting a little anxious, like, what the heck am I going to talk about? I mean, some of these things have been just so good and so right on that I've listened to the podcast myself over and over, and not that it's both for me. I mean, some of it, I'm like, I don't even remember what I said, and it just really worked. So then when I go back and I listen to it myself, I was like, wow, I mean, and again, not to boast of myself, I wholeheartedly believe some of these messages that have come out, I mean, have been Holy Spirit-induced, right? So then, with that, by Monday, you know, I'm already starting to go, what's going to happen? You know, we've done the Love Lots message, and we've done making a decision, and we've done fear of the Lord, and we've done all these specific things, right? How am I going to top that, right? Then I start thinking, it's not my job. But the anxiousness started to creep in a little bit, where I didn't know what I was going to do. So then, I'm telling you, I couldn't sleep. I was having like a little restlessness. Monday night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up. What do? I didn't have my headset with me. You know, I told you guys a lot. I go to bed and I listen to the Bible. I didn't have my headset on me, so I go, I got to find this thing. I couldn't find the kitchen, whatever. So I said, well, it must be in my bag. My bag's in the truck. I went outside, and I'm looking through the truck trying to find my headset at 3 o'clock in the morning. In the midst of that, I start working, and I'm emailing people. And so they all asked me what I was doing the next day, but I found my headset. But in the midst of that, what I did is I just stopped for a minute because I am a fanatic for a starry night. Like, beautiful, there's no lights out, the moon wasn't out, the stars were just amazing. So I literally, man, I'm standing out just the opposite of my underwear story in the previous, been doing the same thing, but I'm just admiring the skies, right? It was just amazing. And I'm just thinking, all of peace and calm came over me. This is just amazing. And you start thinking about the stories, you know, where David was talking about. I could see it, man, where he got to the place where he just said, my God, when I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, who is man that you're mindful of them, that you even, you know what I mean? I mean, in those moments, I get that. When you start to consider the magnitude of what we are dealing with out there, it becomes amazing. To me, it really does. And I need those moments to settle down sometimes. So with that, you know, the initial question comes in, how do we really ever know the magnitude of creation? Or even, how do we really comprehend and grasp the magnitude of our salvation or the finished work of Christ and everything that's out there if we don't take time, as David said, to consider, right? That's the moment I'm getting at. If we don't take time to consider, how do we ever get ourselves to that place that we understand what we're dealing with? I mean, that's a question I think the answer is you don't, right? I mean, you don't. But unfortunately, with everything that's going on out there, it's not happening today. So when I say, you know, ASDD, I truly mean it. I wholeheartedly believe just about everybody in here, whether you admit it or don't admit it, whether you like it or don't like it, just about everybody I come in contact with almost everywhere has that. But what does God want from us? And what are we given? Radically different, is it not? And a big part of that is from that. I believe it's a huge deception of the devil. You know, everything that this country has to offer is ridiculous. And it just takes our attention and just continues to shrink it. And a big part of it is through technology. Technology continues to shrink and shrink and shrink our attention down to almost nothing. I mean, if the phone's not going off and the ad's not going on, the radio's not playing, background noise isn't going on, something is catching our attention every, like, 3 nanoseconds. Something different is going on, and then we wonder why we don't hear from God anymore. Because we're so wrapped up in everything that's going on that we don't allow Him to speak to us. So that's the premise of what we're doing here. And I'm telling you, what happened is that next morning, I didn't hear from Him. I don't know if I was interrupted that night or not. Yeah, I didn't hear nothing. So I just said, all right, I'm going to bed. I put my headset on and went to bed. The next morning, man, I get up, and as I'm laying in bed, I just get a big smile on my face, right? Chase goes, what? I go, quiet in the house. What is this? This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is His house now, right? So when I say quiet in the house, that's me. That's my internal being. My soul has to get quiet in order to hear what He has to say. We're just not doing that. So quiet in the house. Whose house? So I want to tell you a story that kind of... I didn't know our off-road adventure in Colorado was going to turn into a Bible moment, but I mean, again, if you're constantly looking for those moments, they just appear, right? So what happened is we were going on I didn't even know what we were doing. Tracy arranged it, and she arranged us to go take a guided Hummer tour into the mountains, into the Rockies, right? So we just, I mean, the road was, we were going up some rocks, man. This dude took this Hummer place. I'd never take my Hummer. So it gave me some encouragement. Right? Rock climbing. So we went out into this thing, and all of a sudden, I mean, think about it. Our mission was to go rock climbing and to go take this Hummer into places it wasn't supposed to go. Right? That's my whole perception. That's all we're doing, right? All of a sudden, the guide stops the truck, and he goes, all right, let's get out. There's more roads, you know what I mean? What are we stopping for? I said, I'll take over. You need me to take over? You want to sit in the back for a little? I'll drive that thing, right? I'm ready to roll. Anyways, long story short, he goes, oh, let's just take a little walk. And so we took a walk, and we're in an aspen grove. And so we just kind of take a walk down a little kind of a beaten trail. And, you know, he just starts talking about things. And, you know, me, again, I'm a victim of my own circumstance in this. What are we looking at trees for, man? Let's get in the Hummer. And I told him, I said, listen, I got 6 of them. I can drive. You know, he said, I don't think our insurance will like that too much. I go, we're in the boonies right now. No one's going to know unless I, like, roll it, then we're in trouble. But anyways, so that's my inside. That's what I'm doing. I'm thinking, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Let's go run something over. He's just, let's go take a walk. We're walking through this little aspen grove, and he starts telling little stories, right? Man, I don't know what I was thinking, because normally I don't blurt out too much. I really don't. Normally I hold my peace, and I let everybody talk themselves out before I say anything most of the time. Well, what happened? He's telling a story about these aspen trees and the properties, how do you say it? The medicinal properties in the bark of an aspen tree. I just go, what? Who in the right mind would bite the side of an aspen tree? Right? But now he's telling the story about how they used it back in the day, and you know, I don't know whether it's Indians or Indians. So he's talking about this, and I go, who would bite the side of that tree? It's nasty looking. It's got eyeballs all over it. If you rub your hand on it, it leaves like a film, like a chalkiness that they said they used for sunscreen. I mean, okay, I get it. You're a standby tree, and you got some things on, and you wiped it. You know, your wife goes, why do you have three fingers across your head? So I get it. Something like that could happen, right? You didn't get sunburned. Whatever. I can see that. But who's going to bite the tree for the first time? That's what I'm saying. What? What are you talking about? Again, that was just something. I had a moment. And it was probably meant for this reason. And he was like, no, listen. And this is where the quietness came in. And I had to think about it for quite a while to really comprehend what actually took place in order to get somebody to bite the tree. Right? I mean, I had to think about it. But what happened was, he goes, listen, you know, when they're out here hunting and they're doing things, during the time of the elks in velvet, when they were starting to shed, they would notice that these bull elks, during that time, and only that time, the bull elks would go and they would nibble on the bark of an aspen tree. And then in the springtime months, they noticed that the mamas, after giving birth, would come over and nibble on the aspen tree bark. And to me, I said, think about that. How many years of observation in the woods did it take to put those two and twos together? Right? I mean, think about it. If you didn't know nothing about anything and you just sat in the woods, how long would it take for you to put that together, that maybe that bark would ease this pain I've got in my arm? You know what I mean? How long would it take for you to do that? But so then it made me realize, I mean, not only in biblical days, but even back 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the time and the quietness that people had was like a million times less than what we deal with today, right? They didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. They didn't have cell phones. The demands on their time. It wasn't even demands. It was noise. You know, like right now, almost entirely, as soon as people jump in a car, what do? Turn on the radio. As soon as they get home, what do? Turn on the TV. Constantly. Twitter and Facebook and, I mean, it's always something all the time until you make a decision to spend some quiet time, which doesn't happen that much, right? So you see where I'm going with this. So we're living in a whole nother world that's taking us down a path of, you know, for lack of better terms, I'm going to tell you destruction. For a big, vast majority of people, because they just don't have the time to figure out. They don't have the time to understand who they are in Christ. They don't have the time to understand what the fear of the Lord is, or to get it. Or, I mean, all these things that go into this, you just don't have time to even hear.
And people's silence is
deafening. That's why I said it took 17 seconds for people to start almost crawling out of their chair. So,
because nothing was going on.
Nothing.
Became anxious.
Anxious.
Be anxious for nothing.
Be anxious for nothing. I mean, so all these biblical truths, we just showed in 17 seconds, we are so radically far from them, it's really saddening to me. And I liken this to, I don't know how many times in Scripture did Jesus say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It was already starting to be a problem back then, just like, you know, what Paul said, you know, aren't you just acting worldly because some are saying I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, and aren't we one in Christ? So to me, that was the breakdown of the singleness or the unity in the church right there. He was being affected with it. Same thing, you know, Jesus was being, people, they all had ears. If they didn't have ears, Jesus would heal them. So they physical ears wasn't the issue. But I don't know how many times you go through Scripture and it says, if you have ears to hear, let them hear. He wasn't talking about their physical ears. He's talking about right here. And that's what we're so ASDD'd up on, that we don't have hearing ears in our spirit and in our soul right now. It's so blocked that we really are having a hard time. We really are. So what I wanted to do is, and honestly, guys, this goes a lot longer than just the technology. I mean, the noise could be friends and family. It could be yourself. The internal thoughts, and a lot of times the internal thoughts come out, right? Because a lot of people are longing to fill this hole that they have in them. They just talk. There's so many different variables that go into this. It's really amazing to me. So what I want to do is again, because you know I really like pulling on Scripture. So I wanted to take Old Testament and some New Testament and really dial in on some of these that confirm exactly what I'm talking about and how important it is for us to make a decision to stop, to shut up everything in this world and spend some time alone. You time. Okay? Let me start with Isaiah 30. And I'll go through some. It's really, you know, you can read verse 1 through 15. I'll just kind of skim through it. But Isaiah 31 through 3 is really talking about trusting in the world instead of God. If you read it, it really goes on. But then you go on to it. This is really, it ties into New Testament as well. Verse 9 and 10, it says that, I should read it. I wrote down some notes on it, but let's read it. I just want to make sure we pull this thing out completely. It won't take long. Let's go to Isaiah. So again, verse 7 and kind of goes on talking about, and again, that really ties back to, it says the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Again, it's the worldly things. We're so caught up in the world and its goods and stuff, it's in vain. It's really, to me, it says the same thing. And then in verse 8, go write it. Go make it plain. Put it in a book that they will know the time is coming. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. That sounds a lot like 2 Timothy 4:3, doesn't it? And again, I like to cross-reference. What did Isaiah say and what did Paul say in 2 Timothy 4:3? Let's jump to that real quick. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap up to themselves teachers and have itching ears. They will turn their ears away from the truth. And I wholeheartedly believe that's a bad, bad problem today. You know, even in the churches, the deception is just running rampant. So it was a warning in Isaiah, and it's a warning now. Let's go back to Isaiah 15. So then it says, for thus says the Lord, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. That rest that he's talking about there is an internal quietness, not laying on a beach. Study it. You know, pull out the Hebrew word for it. That rest is an internal quietness, that shutting things down, returning to me and just being quiet. Thou shalt be saved. Then it goes on and say, in quietness and confidence shall be strength. How many people are looking to get all angst up to get strong in something? It's the opposite. The Bible truths are opposite of what most people do today. In quietness and confidence shall be strength. Proverbs 14:30. And this is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness to the bones. So again, I just wanted to set the tone for this calm and undisturbed inner being that we don't have right now and how important it is biblically. Psalm 62:5. And to me, this kind of shot out at me because I read it probably 15 times and trying to figure out, you know, how does it all fit in? You know, David says, my soul, wait only upon God. So to me, as I kept going through it, I mean, we'll pull out the wait, but it was almost him commanding himself. My soul, wait upon only God. So you think he was having an issue too with attention, people trying to do stuff to him or saying, you know, it probably was nowhere near as bad as it is today. But to me, he says, my soul, wait, like commanding himself to just shut things up. And when you study out that wait that he's talking about there, it's quiet oneself, to be silent. So there's a lot in some of these words. I mean, it's literally just shut up the rest of the world in itself and go upon and be by yourself in silence. Not thinking upon everything that you've just had to encounter over the last 6 years, but it's shutting it down. But we can't do that today. I mean, golly, think about it. If I give you any topic biblically, any topic on anything, and I say, listen, you go in that closet, and all I want you to think about for 5 minutes without your mind wandering one little bit is on this. How many of us could do it? Without the invasion of every thought in this world bombarding our minds and our heart. Think about that. Is there a problem with that? Attention span? deterioration disorder, where we can't hold our own attention for 5 minutes? I mean, I kind of set you up in the beginning on that. It was only 17 seconds. But you know what I mean. And that was just the display of, we need something, quick. I can't have silence. Silence is deadly. It's not. It's a soothingness to your soul. So he says, my soul, wait. And it says, for my expectation is from him. He is my rock and my salvation. I shall not be moved. Verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Again, I talked a little bit more on, you know, I went through a little bit more, but if we had the capacity to trust in him always, I think we could calm our inner being. Peace. Beyond understanding. And even Jesus said, my peace I leave you. Not the peace of this world. My peace I leave you. But then there was commands that followed that, you know, which we're just not living up to. Let's do another one. Let's go to Isaiah 7:4. It says, the Lord said unto Isaiah, and say unto him. So Isaiah is about to tell something to somebody. This is straight from the Lord. It says, take heed and be quiet. I put in some parentheses because I studied the word out. What does the quiet mean in here? It says, be at peace, be tranquil, undisturbed. Undisturbed in your thoughts of who you are in Christ, right? That whole thing cannot be undisturbed. If it can be disturbed, then there's a problem somewhere, and I want to help fix it. So it says, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. You read the story, what Isaiah is talking to this guy about, I don't know his name, read it. You know, it's not going to hurt you. Find out who he's talking to yourself. The guy was being threatened with war. Another country coming in to just wipe him out. And what does the Lord say? Just be quiet. I would think there could be a lot more pep talks the Lord could have did to me at that moment instead of be quiet. Or not. Be still. Be anxious for nothing. There's so many of them though, right? There's so many of them that we just absolutely disregard in our daily earthly deal we got going on here. So many, right? We just disregard them because we're living in a whole different world. I mean, my God, the disciples just wouldn't understand. If they were here today, they just wouldn't understand what we're dealing with. That's almost the attitude that we have. I mean, for crying out loud, they didn't have to worry about all the stuff we have to worry about, right? I'm just saying, in our minds, we have come to the place of, hey, it's a whole other world. It's not. We have warnings of what was going to happen, and it's happening. Now we're trying to make some sort of excuse for what we were already warned about and why we're okay with doing it. We're stupid. Psalm 37:7, this might go kind of along with what you said. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, get this. I think there's some comedy in the Bible if you really understand it, you read it. I mean, he's got to be just cracking up at times at our frailty and stupidity. I mean, it's just got to be. So the first thing, this rest in Hebrews, you know what the very first definition of it is? It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently from him. You know what the very first definition is for rest? What would you think it is? Rest. I mean, I'm thinking hammocks and flip-flops and, you know. What does rest in the Lord mean in the Bible? You want me to tell you what it says? To be dumb. Don't be high-minded. Don't try to figure it all out. It says, be dumb in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, we can use that and spin it into like a negative type of way, but it's not. It really goes on to be dumb, to be astonished. You know, I mean, there's some words that even say to, you know, to perish, to cease. You know, didn't Jesus say? You have to deny your life. You got to, you know, it's no longer you that lives, it's me. To me, that's just building for the moment of what Jesus said down the road. To be dumb in the Lord, to literally shut yourself off, because it's not you, it's all in him. So I can put that together and rationalize what he's saying there. Just shut it down, son. Let it be. I'm here. But again, I think we try to create in ourselves our own God. I think we put ourselves up on a pedestal way higher than we ought. And I think we put a lot more stock into what we think than we ought. I wholeheartedly do. We should be trusting in him at all times. That's what it says, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. You want to go to New Testament stuff? Let's just throw a couple out at you. 1 Peter 3:4. Now, this one talks a lot about women in the Bible, but it's really, there's some good moments in here. It talks about a woman having the ability through good conversations and fearing the Lord, out of meekness and a quiet spirit, the ability to win over men that didn't even believe. It's in the Bible. Better be. Right? But doesn't that happen? And there's probably guys all over the place that can attest to that. Just the good-hearted nature, that's what it says. But again, it's based on a quiet spirit. Maybe women have the ability to shut it down a little quicker than us. I don't know. But it's definitely geared towards women. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:11. I like this one. It had a lot in it. So backing up to verse 10, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business." Let me back up into that thing, because it really makes you think, just shut up and do your job, right? And I think most people would read that and just take that out of it. But again, you got to understand, you know, the word study and what they were talking about here. And it says, and that, again, I don't know what translation I wrote in here, and that ye study. Well, what does study mean? It means to strive eagerly or to earnestly desire to do something. So if I read it that way, it says, and that you strive eagerly and earnestly desire to be quiet. But then I want to tell you what quiet is, because our English language fouls things up in the big picture moments of what the Bible is telling us. So quiet in here means to hold one's peace, to be silent, say nothing. It also talks about a lot of people running constantly, going here and going there and always having, you know, busybodies, always having something to do. You know, I think about that. You know, have you ever gone on vacation and just stayed so busy when you got home, you needed a vacation, right? There's never any just quiet moment, right? And so that's really kind of how that means. And then it says, and do your own business. Quit worrying about the affairs of others. That would probably help a few of us. And to work with our own hands, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. The apostles are literally saying, hey, you guys have love. You guys are doing it. Read a little bit before. Just start out in chapter 4. He's saying it. You guys have it. You know, the brotherly love, you're doing it. It's working, Peter, right? I mean, they go through that. And then when he gets to verse 10, he says, but I beseech you now, brethren, that you increase more and more. And then he talks about how to do that. And that's about quieting yourself from the problems of this earth. And it clearly does not discourage us working, so we have enough to give to those that need, right? There's some cool stuff in there. So one thing I did want to point out too, though, and I mentioned silence, because it's not all about silence per se. Like, just, I mean, there are tons of scripture in the Bible that talk about our words and the power of our tongue and just being quiet. Tons of stuff. If you just study silence in the Bible, it's amazing how much we talk and compared to what the Bible says we ought. It really does. We just run off about everything. It just does no good. I'll give you a couple. Just because we hit the silence thing, and I know the silence, just the whole talking thing, it's a big moment of that. It's really not the heart issue of what I'm talking about here. It's all about calming your inner being, right? That's really what it is. But there is a big problem today in people talk too much. And with that, you never get to the place that you can calm yourself, because you're always going. I'll just give you a couple. Proverbs 17, 27, and 28. And this is a good thing. I look at it as, okay, maybe I'm onto something. And I got people in here today that will tell you, if I'm out doing something or I'm negotiating on something or something's going on, I am normally the absolute last one to say anything. Because more times than not, people just go on and on, and I know everything about them. I know what their problems are. I know what they need. I know what they want. By the time the thing is over with, I can just go, okay, well, I'll just give you this then. And they go, well, okay. Because they already told me everything. People just can't shut up. So what I learned this a long time ago, and it wasn't a biblical truth, but it is a biblical truth. A couple different things I was told early on, man, when I was really like passionately wanting to just go out there and rock the world and, you know, just become a whatever. I heard two different things at two different times that stuck with me, still to this day. I use them, but come to find out, they're biblical truths. Everything is good that comes from the Bible. Everything. Whether you like it or not, it ultimately comes from it. I don't care how somebody twisted it at one point in time and they didn't wrap Bible on it, it comes from it. So the one thing that I heard long, long, long ago was, how do I say it? Well, I'm Tracy, you know, the one who talks first in an argument, usually wrong. Right? What about sales?
Yes.
He who talks first loses. Right? On the sales side of it. So that's why I don't say nothing to nobody in a sales setting. And most time, people just freak out. You guys freaked out in 17 seconds. I didn't say something. But imagine sitting across the table from me on a sales side. People that are with me start freaking out. It's uncomfortable. But again, I think that's a godly attribute that just freaks people out. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Because people will literally freak out. And out of sheer, I don't even know what. There's semi-panic in somebody being quiet. That they just throw in the towel. So again, I was just saying that to, I mean, I guess I'm just kind of fired up about it, that some of the sales that got in me early on, it's in the Bible, man. So it's just, nothing can not be given glory to Him. I'm just fired up about that. All right, so with that, Proverbs 17:27 says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Right? No highs, no lows, just... That means you have some understanding. You really don't care about nothing. Verse 28 says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. You can't accuse them of being dumb. And they are discerning if they hold their tongue. That's the perception. James 1:19 says, take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And then you skip down a couple verses. Verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. That's a moment right there. No one else is even deceiving you. You just won't shut up long enough, so you're deceiving your own heart. You won't shut up long enough. The deception is running rampant in your heart. His religion is in vain. So again, I just want to pull out a couple verses on silence because I wholeheartedly believe that as a whole, we need to start looking at what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And how can we calm down? And I promise you, more times than not, most everybody that has something to say, they're thinking about what they're going to say next before you even get done saying what you're saying. So then there's really no real relationship. People have no real deep-rooted affection and care for other people because they're so ready to think about what they got to say next that they don't even care what someone's saying. I mean, there's so much that wraps into this, and we can go into probably a whole bunch of different sessions on this to really make sure that we understand the multifaceted product we're dealing with here, but I'm not. I just wanted to touch on the silence just to give you something to think about because that's pretty big. Let me end on this, and let's just talk about it for a minute, but what I really wanted to show you is this. This is where I think the rubber meets the road in what we're talking about here. We have a choice to make. And let me tell you, in biblical terms, why I say we have the choice to make. David, in Psalm 131, says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. He didn't say, Father, I just come to you today. And I just ask you to take these burdens and problems and cares of this world and just take them. I don't want to deal with them no more. Now, the Bible does say cast all your cares upon the Lord. But then there is a place and time that you have to make a decision to let it go if you are going to do that. So he says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Who did it? He had to do it based on a decision, an understanding. But he also spent many a days quieting his soul. So I'm not going to lie and say that, hey, in the next 15 minutes, you can go and just rid your mind of every thought that's going to come into it for the next 36 minutes. It's not going to happen. This right here, there's some decisions that you can do. You know, go back and listen to that podcast. on decisions. You can make a decision and it's stuck and it's there and on. But I wholeheartedly believe the pollution that's in our minds is going to take us building back up to the point that we can have a good attention span. And if it takes you, well, you can't do it right now, I understand. 17 seconds is too much of a stretch. But if it takes 17 seconds today, listen, I'm going to take 17 seconds. Until I can get through that 17 seconds, I'm going to start over. That might be a challenge, you know, I'm just saying. But quiet yourself and just listen. Don't think about nothing. And that in and of itself might be a challenge for people because you always want to think about something. Even if it's, okay, am I going to hear? Am I not going to hear? Is he going to talk to me? Is he not going to talk to me? Right, just shut up. 17 seconds. And the next day, go 18. I'm going baby steps here. You might go 30 seconds. You might go, hey, I can keep an attention span right now. I'm pretty good for 3 minutes. Start at 3 minutes, right? But we need to make a decision to do what the Bible says and spend time listening in quietness, undisturbed, relentless in our pursuit to know Him. And again, what did I start out by saying? If you don't, and where I said this might have a lead into, you know, the fear of the Lord. If you can't focus long enough to comprehend the magnitude of the earth and the moon and the stars and the cosmos and everything that's out there, how do you really wrap your head around the magnitude of the Creator Himself? How do you get to the place that you can say, my God, who am I? We've all heard stories, but I'm talking about a heartfelt, who am I? When I walk out and I stand out and I look up, I am just, that's my inner like, dude, if anything ever starts going wrong, I just look up and go, what the heck are we dealing with here? And I'll give you a prime example of this. Me and Henry flew up north. First time I've been on a plane. He knows there are no oh crap bars at this point. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah, you say whatever you want. I'm not kidding. But what I wanted to illustrate on that, because we had a good conversation flying up north, and a plane does that. I'm telling you, flying in a plane does that. It just opens up people to go, wow, I mean, it's really cool. And in my plane, it's just got an absolutely huge cockpit, doesn't it? You can see everything everywhere. It's just amazing, right? So we're flying up north. We didn't go very high because there's clouds, and I didn't want to talk to no one. We're just flying. And, you know, the perspective that you get, and like Henry said, is like everything just kind of melts away at 3,500 feet. Because you can just go flying. You want to go flying? I'll show you. At 3,500 feet, just the observation that you have of this planet changes dramatically. You don't see red lights, and you don't see power poles, and you don't see people honking at each other, you don't see problems. You know, just from 3,500 feet, it just changes. 3,500 feet, 3/4 of a mile away from this planet, it just changes. What did I say? Imagine, let's go 5 miles, 10 miles. Imagine, what is the perspective of the earth just from the moon? And that's the closest thing we have to us. Right? What about the sun and the planets? And what about the next galaxy? What, I mean, and that's what he said, dude, there is no problems. I mean, really, we create our own problems. We create a life of problems that is just insane. It's just insanity because we let so much of this stuff, because we can see it, we can, you know, we're right caught up in the middle of all this craziness that we let it affect us. You go up just 3,500 feet, look down, you go, dude, who are we that we allow any of that to affect us? I mean, really. And I just don't think we elevate ourselves to that level enough to get to the place that we can get past ourselves and onto good living, onto the biblical principle living that we have. So we have a choice right now to make, to heed the biblical warnings, and seek first the kingdom of God. Which means controlling our souls to the point we can free ourselves from that disorder. Choice two, just like Jesus says, if you love me. The alternative is you don't, right? So there's always two choices. The other one is you let the cares of this world flood your heart and mind. And then I believe what happens is we start totally ignoring God's daily communion with us. Did you guys hear me on that last one? I want to make sure you do it. So I'm going to say it again. You guys got to get this, man. We'll go play with Him until we fall down. But, I mean, this is a big moment to me because the second choice is we let the cares of the world flood our hearts and mind, totally ignoring God's daily communion with us. I believe in time, what happens? I mean, can you get to a place where even in your mind, you have everything under control, but Jesus himself could say, I never knew you. Every time I tried to get in, the news popped on. Smile FM came on. I mean, ain't that the Christian thing to do? We just listen to Smile FM. I mean, God's in the background trying his best to get in, but hey, Francesca Battistelli, she's on right now. So I'm listening to Smile FM, right? When do we ever quiet ourselves enough that the radio or all the cares, it says the cares of this world. What's the care of this world? News, media, TV, radio, ourselves, everything we're wrapped up in. I don't care how you label it and how you put it. If it's consuming your mind and putting him backseat, you're in trouble. We're in trouble. And that's what's happening at such a rapid pace that we don't even know it. And isn't deception that in and of itself? So we're living a lie right now, wondering where God's at and why he's not responding. And all the while, he's in the background going, listen to me, dummy. But what do? We become deaf. We harden ourselves up. We wall them right out. And we're living our own little life, just dazed and confused, thinking we're okay. What does God's word say? If you think you're wise, in this world, it's nothing. So we've got a big problem to overcome. And again, when this hit me Tuesday morning, man, quiet in the house. I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant instantly. Because that night before, I was having little bits of anxiousness, like, I haven't heard from you all freaking week. If you don't say something quick, I'm canceling. Right? I mean, it wasn't that bad. But, I mean, to me, because I don't want to put it on me. And I thank God that over these last probably 20 weeks, dude, he's just rolled them out one after another, whether it was in a dream or something that spun off of a dream. It's just been one after another. So now I'm out of here for you for 4 days. I panic. Where you at? You better tell you. But what was I doing? Creating my own problem. And it took me going outside, seeing the stars, and just going, that's it. What in the world are we doing? What am I doing? What am I allowing myself to do? Am I crazy? And that's what prompted the whole thing. As soon as I woke up, did I have a smile? I mean, I don't even know how it prompted you to go, what? Something. But she looked at me, she was like, what? I said, quiet in the house. And I just had a smile on my face because instantly I knew exactly what needed. I just didn't know how to put it together. So I'm hoping you guys are picking up what I'm laying down with this. And then what's the next step? How do we do that? I mean, what do we got to do to quiet ourselves? And that might be some sacrifice. And again, these are the decisions that you can make, right? When you go and listen to the, you know, Make a Decision podcast, these are the things that you can do. Just say, hey, for the next 30 days, I'm not listening to the TV. I'm not listening to the radio. I'm not listening to anyone that has anything negative to say. I'm not doing these things. Those kind of decisions you can make and stick to. This might be a moment where you got to go, how much noise am I really getting? How much do I really need to cut out just to be able to concentrate for 30 minutes? Right? This is the stuff you got to kind of seek inside and go, dude, was he onto something? Am I always something going on somewhere and new? You know, is something always going on? How much time do I really put into? And I'm not talking about, see, here's all the good things. I'm feeling this kind of brewing out. People say, yeah, but I read my Bible. And I do this, and I do that. Okay, so the Pharisees could quote the Bible. You know what that meant? They read it, and they still were lost. So I don't care what you do. It's about the relationship, and then it's about the knowing. So I might even commission you to put the Bible down. If you believe in your heart that is true, and that's all you do is read it, put it down. Stop reading it. You guys can start thinking about this. I think the stage has been set. We've got to make a determination of, are we really putting him first in our lives? You have to be honest with yourself and start realizing the problem that we're in. We are afraid to deny ourselves, but what did Jesus say himself? If you will not deny yourself and follow me, you're not fit to be my disciple. I'm glad you guys are starting to be able to pick some of this apart and go, it's way more rampant than I can even explain. It's that bad. Rob said it perfectly. What more does the devil want than separation again? Because Christ, like Leroy said, he did it. He brought us back into communion. And what does the devil have to do? Just throw some noise out there. the cares of the world. It didn't say what the cares of the world are. We have our own perception of what the cares are, but in reality, it's just the noise keeping us from hearing the Father. If you can hear the Father, the fear of the Lord comes in, all the blessings take over, and you're just a maniac for Christ. Anyways, thanks for coming out. Again, I'm going to stick around and we can chat all we want.